RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550.
Tee to Green is being presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club.
A hole in one, not big.
Now it's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mattis.
7 o'clock here on a beautiful Saturday in August. We welcome you to another edition of the Tee to Green Golf Show, live and on the air here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Thanks for being with us. We're looking at the sunshine and the beautiful course here at Glen Oak Golf Course Golf Club in East Amherst, and we're with you for the next hour here on WGR with the best spot for local golf talk in Western New York. Got a jam-packed show, as we always do. Only an hour to get everything in that we want to talk about here from Glen Oak. The Olympics, in terms of the golf, wrapping up with the women. We'll talk about that here in just one moment. The men are playing in Memphis at the World Golf Invitational, the St. Jude Classic in Memphis. We'll have that with our PGA Tour leaderboard. We'll get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, our Ryder Cup report, Champions Tour report. And some other interesting news and notes here along the way, but we're at Glen Oak Golf Club. Brian Colsey, along with PGA Pro Jeff Mattis, Kevin Sylvester with the week off. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Good to see you. That's the best part of our job, is we get to see the sunrise in all different spots in Western New York as we travel around. It's a beautiful morning.
Yes. We love coming here to Glen Oak, a proud sponsor of our show here on Tee to Green. And Glen Oak was busy this morning, people coming in, getting ready to play. It was busy here yesterday. I was here in the morning for another successful drive, chip, and putt competition. Kudos to the Western York PGA and their staff and the volunteers. It was the second round of the sub-regional, and congrats to all the girls and boys that participated, and some that even are going on to the next round, which is really cool. They're one step closer to going to the Masters.
I know a lot of parents had a vested interest in how their kids were doing yesterday.
Including me.
Yeah. Yeah, how'd it go for your son? Did he enjoy his day?
He did. He drove it as perfect as he could have. Dead three down the middle, physically hit it as far as he could. Chipped, I would say, fine, and then he didn't putt as well as he did the previous time.
And that's where you make the points.
He won the putting in his age group last week, and that's how he advanced. And this week, yesterday, he didn't putt as well, and that's why he's not moving on. But he finished, I think, fifth out of the 12. And, you know, these are all good players because they all won their first round. So he was in good spirits. And we had some nice food here afterwards, so that obviously picked things up for me, of course. That's a big part of the day.
The food, yeah. Does he like the competition? Is that part of it that he enjoys?
Yeah, I think he does. I mean, he loves coming over and seeing his name on the leaderboard on the TV and checking everything out and everything. But
everybody likes that.
Yeah. But no, he knew, I think, after he was done, because he didn't putt as well, that he was like, I don't know if that's enough or whatever, but he stayed and cheered on a couple of his other friends that he knew here that were doing it. But just a great event, and I know not every there are volunteers that come over and give up their time to do some scoring.
Some guys
and stuff
from the
like
PGA
that.
Reach were here helping out. Yep.
So it's very, very nice.
Yeah.
So we're here at Glen Oak, and I'm sure many of you have played the course. It's looking great, and we've got a couple of guests here from Glen Oak, the course owner and PGA Pro. We've had him on before. If you're a regular listener of the show, Tim Fries. Tim, good morning.
Morning, Bri. Morning, Jeff.
Morning, Freezer.
We're sitting outside the patio here by the fire pit over overlooking the putting green.
And the driving range, yep, watching all the activity. We're already hearing a few cuss words early this morning. It's a little early to get mad on the golf course.
You've got to be more optimistic when you're starting.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Googie, the course superintendent, is here as well. Dan, good morning.
Morning, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us. Course looks great. Tim takes a lot of credit for it, but I guess you have a little to say in that, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, no.
This is all.
Is it all Dan?
This is all Dan. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome because he lets us do our thing, and he encourages us to try new things and has full confidence in what we're trying to do here.
That's awesome.
And, I've been here for a few years and seen the course change around, and I'd like to say 99% of that is Dan, and the greens have really improved. Dan, you're doing something pretty cool this summer with your greens as opposed to a typical aeration. Can you explain what you're going to be doing to the greens?
Yeah, it's called dryject. It's another form of aerification. It's inch and a half by inch and a half spacing. Typical aerification might be 2x2 or 2x3 inch spacing. We're gonna get 1,000 pounds of sand per 1,000 square feet compared to 500 to 600 pounds of sand per 1,000. It's the nickname for the machine we chose is called the top changer. Mm-hmm. The holes only go 2 inches deep. They heal a lot faster. We're gonna get 100 tons of sand in just this one aerification.
And people always ask, why do we have to aerify? If I have that question once in my life, I've had it 10,000 times. Why do we bother to aerify? During the best time of the year, the greens are perfect. Now we're going to poke holes in them. Well, I know with the dryject, it's a little different because it heals so much quicker. Mm-hmm. But a typical aerification, can you explain to people why people might need to aerify?
Yeah, the simple answer.
Might need to. Yeah.
Well, you need to.
Yeah.
The simple answer, it reduces compaction. The biggest benefit, I think, is getting the oxygen to the root zone. Especially with a wet month of July we had, you might see a lot of courses going out needle tining right now, maybe spiking their greens. And it's so minimally invasive. You mow behind a process like spiking, and you don't even know we were out there that morning before you played, but it's so important to get the oxygen down to those roots and let them breathe.
And compaction is because everybody's playing, stepping on the greens, all the equipment, it forces that material down, and then what happens? Water can't trickle down to the roots, or oxygen can't? What's the effect of compaction?
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. It creates these anaerobic conditions just below the surface in the root zone, and ultimately, it may end up, decreasing drainage or porosity. And at the end of the day, you just want a good putting surface.
Yeah.
This is like a Holiday Inn Express here. We're all about to get smarter. So all the listeners out there that play golf, that play on greens, we're all about to get smarter.
Yeah, a lot of people are looking up anaerobic right now.
That's right. No, we like to, once or twice a year during our shows, bring on course superintendents. And Dan Nicely has offered a few minutes here on his busy Saturday morning to come over and explain some of the things that people normally have. Tim, I'm sure you here as kind of the face of the franchise here at Glen Oak do get those questions a lot about aerification or, hey, why did you do this out in the course, or what? Why was the grass cut this way, or why was this tree taken down this way, or why did you guys decide to build up this here, or that, you know, that sort of thing? I'm sure you get a lot of questions that.
Well, when Jeff and I kind of got going here, we had the USGA in and had an assessment, and this is why we just were so fortunate to find Dan and his mind and what he's thinking to try to. Our commitment was the greens. Let's make them better first, and how do you do that? And he had such awesome, thoughts and what we have, but it's a process. It takes a while.
Years. Yeah.
You have to be patient.
Remember the thatch layer? We had thatch layer that was
Can you
ridiculous.
Explain what thatch is?
Let's let Dan explain.
Yeah, we're not going to talk.
I could do it.
What
wrong.
Is that, Dick? In the simplest terms here for our listeners, what's thatch?
It's a lot of decomposing materials that build up in that primary root zone right at the surface.
Yeah.
And, the aerification, you pull a core, it removes. you add the sand to those holes or like dry jacked what we're doing, and it dilutes the percentage of organic matter. And a lot of nutrients get bound up in there, and the drainage is, the surface drainage is the biggest key there to keep that under control.
And greens with too much thatch are typically very spongy, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Dan, what would be the, you know, that order if for the listeners out there about a, is it, what's first? Health, speed, smoothness, which is first to get the others?
It's a perfect balancing match. It really is, because unhealthy green is not going to perform well. I don't care how low you mow it, how often you're rolling, how dry it is. If it's not healthy, it's not going to perform. So you got to, we do a lot of soil tests, tissue tests. We know where our nutrients are and what nutrients we need. It'd be like taking a vitamin that you don't need for your body. You apply that same thought to the greens. You only apply what they need, and then you can keep things in, you know, your optimum ranges. And if they're healthy, they're going to perform.
Dan Googie, the course superintendent here at Glen Oak, joining us. We're live at Glen Oak, of course, outside the beautiful patio, along with PGA Pro Jeff Midas and PGA Pro Tim Fries. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for being with us here on WGR. We're trying to educate you here on the first segment on what the golf course, you know, how, why does it look so great? You come to a place like Glen Oak, and Dan, obviously, this place gets a ton of play. Being a public course, being a popular course, being in Amherst, like, people know that have played this course. There's a lot of rounds that get played on here. So the greens itself, I mean, obviously, you maybe you have a more challenge than other courses in the fact that you get so many rounds played out here. So what is that like? How many, what's a busy day? How many rounds here, Tim?
A lot.
Yeah, we go between 240 and sometimes 300. And that computes that last year at about 40, 41,000 rounds. This year we're kind of ahead of that a little bit. A typical private might do 20,000 on a good year.
Yeah,
so have
half the round.
Double compaction. Right. And
so
Dan can speak to what.
So 300 rounds. Everybody's got two golf spikes on, walking all over the green. You're talking about tens of thousands of steps on every green every day.
Yeah, there's some days it looks like a herd of elephants was out here running around. But that's, you know, double the ball marks, double the divots. It's everywhere from tee to green. You see a great impact. The cart traffic on fairways, especially, again, going back to July, it was a wet month. And you see a lot of these areas that aren't draining properly, and they just don't perform as well.
What is, if you had, if every golfer in Western New York is listening right now, let's hope they
are. Which they are.
Which they are. Yeah, yeah. This is a popular show, yeah, for sure.
All over the world, actually.
I agree. Right. Odyssey app,
yes,
WGR550.com. Right. You can listen anywhere. If you said, look, obviously you'd love to tell every golfer like 30 things. Hey, do this, do this, do this. If you could say, look, if you could just do this for me today, this would make my job so much easier. What to keep the course great for everybody, like, what would your message be to a golfer showing up today?
Don't say stay home.
All right. All right, that's not an option.
Number one would definitely be fix your ball marks.
That's the most number one important
Without
thing.
A doubt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fix yours and somebody else's.
Exactly. And if everyone's doing that, the greens are going to look tremendous, stay nice, and they're going to perform. You don't want to roll over, you know, a 10-foot putt that bounces three times because you went over some unrepaired ball marks. And just not repairing a ball mark under certain conditions, 2 to 3 hours later, that spot's already dead. So waiting for the maintenance staff to do it the next day, it's most likely too late, especially during our short golf season. It's, you know, we're getting up in the mid to upper 80s this weekend. Ball marks, by the time you make the turn, some of your ball marks are already dead. Second thing would be fix your ball marks and repair your divots. I can't say ball marks enough. It's really
so.
Is,
that's the thing.
Yeah.
So if you were if you were going to ask, you know, for improvement from golfers coming to play, if you said, look, guys, just at least one thing to improve, that would be it.
For sure.
Just ball marks, and we say it. You said it. You don't have to. If you see one, even if it's not your shot, you can still repair it and make it better for everybody.
Yeah, it's like the first thing you teach junior golfers, and it's like the first thing in etiquette is to repair your ball mark. And I'm still shocked when I go out there and find or play behind a group where you don't see anybody bend over and fix a ball mark all day. And, you know, I'll often say something, but I don't understand how someone could go on the golf course and not be aware that that's something that's asked of them as a player that day.
And what you're doing to the greens, too, is, you know, we're trying to make them like a Hilton Head beach, right? So maybe that the more sand you put in, maybe that firmer surface, maybe that – the conditions that you're trying to give us here, it does help, doesn't it?
Absolutely. They'll heal a lot faster with the sand, with where we're at right now. Just that quick little twist of your tool will heal.
And this is why you don't want to try to build a green in your backyard, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
It's tough, but it can be
done. Call Custom Turf and buy one of our greens instead. Yes.
How about riding carts? What's your best advice for how people could help keep the golf course great that way?
Just be aware of any traffic signs, wherever you're trying to direct traffic. Stay out of puddles. If we're fortunate enough, we have cart paths, so we can get out there even on the wettest of days. But it's not always the case for a big event. Just be aware of where all the ropes and stakes are and obey them.
I know a lot of trees you guys have worked on here at Glen Oak. That seems to be a trend not only here at Glen Oak, but across other courses in Western New York. Tim, you can jump in on this too here, but just what's the thought process? I'm sure people visually, changes to the golf course, that's something that a golfer would see first, Tim, right? Coming here and saying, hey, there's a tree down here on number two,
yeah,
or
sure.
Whatever.
And Trent Jones and the wonderful architects around here, Desmond Muirhead, Donald Ross, they designed golf courses. Some of these trees weren't, well, most of them weren't there. And Dan can speak to, you know, you can grow one of two things, either trees and there's no grass or a lot of grass and there's no trees. So basically it's the health of the golf course in a sense too, clearing up sunlight. And Dan can speak to, you know, that sunlight penetration. And Jeff and I have talked about this over the years around greens and tees. So Dan, kind of tell them why, the ash borer just decimated Western New York, but there's a lot of other stuff out there too.
Yeah, one of the biggest improvements, I think, was the second green. We eliminated the trees to the left of the green, which was the eastern side of the green, and it gets sunlight now first thing in the morning, whereas there were days we wouldn't see any sunlight on that green until about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
And isn't morning sun more important?
Correct. Yeah, the turf has a lot more energy stored up to where it can actually absorb that sunlight, which is just so important for the day's performance of that turf and its recovery that next night.
I don't know which one of you gave me the saying, but there's a saying, you never see trees on a sod farm. So yeah, why are you planting trees right next to your greens or right next to your fairway? Yeah. And the other thing is, I think people plant trees forgetting that they grow as big as they do, and they end up in, you know, impinging, encroaching on the hole and within 10 years, and then all of a sudden they got a problem tree that's changed the hole.
Yeah, you want to understand the specimen tree you are planting, and it might look cute now when it's only 6 to 8 feet tall, but you know, 30 years from now, when that tree's got a canopy that's 40, 50 feet big and it's overhanging the edge of a green, you're asking for trouble.
We're speaking to a lot of future board members that might want to throw some trees in certain spots and put names on them and all. So you really do have to, the specimen itself, what it is. Some trees attract bugs. We know we're going to be doing a lot more work out here just for the golf course itself, as we look to, and many courses do, master plans. And you just went through one before you got here at Wanaka, a wonderful master plan. Trees are wonderful all around, but we got plenty. There's thousands. So there's certain ones that we don't need, in a sense, and they might not be healthy or the right species.
Yeah, and the biggest part of what we're doing is really just eliminating what's already dead out there from the emerald ash borer. I know this region got crushed by it. I think East Amherst was one of the first areas to see the bug in Western New York. And I mean, where we sit right now, you can probably see well over 200 trees that there's just no leaves on them. They're gone. They're done. Now's the time to go out and take a look at these trees, and they're really dangerous. They come down on their own terms, so if we don't stay ahead of that, they're going to come down anyways.
Dan Googie, the course superintendent here at Glen Oak Golf Club in East Amherst, where we are broadcasting live outside on the patio here on Tee to Green. Brian Koziel, Jeff Midas, Tim Freeze with me here as well. Dan, let's finish with the speed of the greens. That's obviously something that golfers like to chat about. Also, sometimes strikes fear in their eyes when they're fast. What goes into your mindset in terms of how fast to make a green? How much input do you get from Tim in terms of how he wants the course to play versus physically what you can and cannot do to keep it healthy and, you know, that sort of idea, and keeping all that in balance?
That was a big part of where we took our approach to aerification and all the other cultural practices on the greens. You know, when I first started it took us a good 7 to 10 days to ramp up for an event, and it was pretty complicated. Sand today, none tomorrow, try to gear up. Now, we live in that 10 and a half range with just a single cut. And a lot of that is because of all the aerification we've done.
10.5, tell the listeners what that is.
So, that's on the stent meter. You hear them talking about it on TV all the time. The greens are rolling at a 12. They're fast. An 11 is a very respectful speed to have. And that's, we live in that 10.5 range. We might amp up our rolling for a couple days leading up to event. And we've had a few events this year where they were screaming. They were 11, 6, 12. Just from a few extra days of rolling and timing our.
What do you think the duster that's coming up?
Yeah. Our duster putting challenge, yeah. 2 weeks talk about on the putting green.
Talk about pressure on a super. Yeah, get that green ready.
It's in 2 weeks. If we don't put any more water on this green from now until then, they'll be screaming. It'll be running to 12 easy.
You mentioned these numbers. What is an average PGA Tour event speed for their greens?
I think it still varies based on the course, but I mean they're going to be 11 to 12. I might be completely wrong here, but I think even at the Open a couple weeks ago, I think they were in that 10.5 range,
yeah,
right?
Correct.
They
yeah.
weren't that fast, but they were beautiful. They were true, yeah. And there's, you know, some courses there's so much slope. Anything more than that can be unfair. You can lose 60% of your pinnable locations when they get too fast.
Does pace of play also come into factor when you think about that?
It certainly does. You know, we might not have too many challenging pins out there. A day we know that they're really fast, and we want to keep them closer to the middle of the green, away from some false edges. And, you have to consider all that.
I love putting on fast green, by the way. To me, that's the most fun in golf when the greens are rolling fast and true, and that's the joy of getting out there and trying to putt on every hole. I think it's the best, and that's why I'm looking forward to the duster.
Well, just a week ago, well, 2 weeks ago, we had the Buffalo District, and Anthony D'Alessandri did a wonderful job here and winning again. Well, just this past Monday, we had a nice event here, the Western Europe Classic, and I got to play with Anthony, and that was a top three putting display I've ever seen, and Anthony just felt very comfortable with the speed, with the smoothness, with the true. He just felt comfortable on these greens because his left to rights he preferred over right to left, but he's good enough to actually put it in that spot to make that putt. And he made some nice comments to Dan's work and then many superintendents around the area that really, really try hard. So, you know, if you're on a committee, if you're thinking and you're listening out there, these young men and women just really bang it out. And the greens health, isn't that it? Isn't that a place where you want to be with your super? So, Dan, thank you very much just on the air for all the work that you've done and your crew. It's been awesome.
Thank you.
And I have one quick question, too. So it's hard to keep the greens at a high speed constantly, right? Because you're putting stress on the grass, or is that not the case anymore? So, you know what I mean? Why wouldn't you keep them at 13 every day or 12 every day? Is there a reason that's not done at every golf facility?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I sound like a broken record, but July was a very difficult month. We almost gave up rolling the entire month just because we were so wet. We didn't want to add any more compaction. Hold your head underwater, you can't breathe. That's what the greens were going through. The whole course was going through that tee to green, and it was a challenge. So we were happy living in that 10 to 10.5 range. Keep them alive, keep them performing, so that when we get to this beautiful weather, we finally got our summer back, they can perform well.
Dan, you asked just real briefly. You asked maybe this fall. You call it deep tining, so tees and fairways. Our fairways need that in many golf courses. So all this is time and money, and it's labor. Maybe even just talk briefly about that oxygen, trying to get. What does it really take to have a healthy golf course, from a country club to a public golf course? What would it take to do our fairways and get that, you know, deep tine down?
Yeah, it's a long process on fairways. You know, you can contract it out and they come in, you got to shut the whole course down for a day. I know a lot of clubs in this area do it, mostly the private clubs, but you can do it in-house and you might only get one or two holes done a day, and then you're disrupting play, you know, for 2 weeks if you have the right weather for it. But all the low-lying areas where you might have some poor drainage, you saw some damage over the last 6 weeks from the way the weather was, but just poking those holes, giving that turf a chance to breathe, you might get 2 inches of rain, and at that, whether you poke holes or not, that's the difference whether that turf could survive.
Awesome. Dan Googie, the course superintendent here at Glen Oak, thanks for educating us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yes. Always put me on the spot.
No, appreciate it. And listen, just a message from me here, who's got much less expertise in this area, but if everybody just does their part as a golfer here, like, we can keep all of our courses across Western New York great. As Dan said, you know, repair your ball mark, replace your divots, keep the carts out of where they're not supposed to be. If everybody kind of just does their part on that, I mean, then...
How simple?
It'll make everybody's... And it'll make Dan's job and all the ground staff and crew, their job easier. So if you see somebody out mowing, you see somebody out working on something on the course, give them a good thank you when you're playing here, because obviously they do a great job to try to make it a great experience for everybody.
That's what superintendents do. The unseen guy behind the scenes there that makes everybody's day better. And replace those ball marks. Jeez, it's not that. Repair those ball marks. I'm getting annoyed now. Sorry, Mark. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
All right. We'll take a time out here from Glen Oak. Tim, you're going to stay with us, right?
Absolutely, sure.
All right. We'll talk a little about Olympic golf. Why was CT Pan's bronze medal worth more than Xander's gold? We'll talk about that, too, as well. Cameron Smith set a putting record yesterday.
Saw that.
At the World Golf Invitational event in Memphis. We'll have that as we roll on here with our PGA Tour leaderboard, our Western Europe PGA Tip of the Week, Ryder Cup Report, Champions Tour Report. We got a lot to get to here as we take our first time out from Glen Oak Golf Club in East Amherst. Thanks for being with us, along with PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. Tim Freeze is with us here as well. I'm Brian Colziel. Corey Griswold back in our Amherst studios, and we thank you for listening. More Tee to Green coming up right after this.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
Back here on Tee to Green, it is time for our check of the PGA Tour leaderboard. The men this week are at the World Golf Championships, the FedEx St. Jude Invitational. And Harris English, off to a great start. Through two rounds, he shot 62-65. He's got a two-shot lead on Cameron Smith and Abraham Anser. Smith shot a 62 yesterday with a putting record that we're going to get here to in just one moment. But English in first, Smith and Anser in second. And some other names of note, Poulter, Burns, and Scheffler are three off the lead. They are at 10 under par. Bryson DeChambeau is in a tie for seventh. He is in ninth. Justin Thomas is in 13th. Dustin Johnson also in 13th. They're both six under par. Phil Mickelson with a nice day yesterday, a 66. He's tied for 21st at minus five. Other names of note here to pass along. Maybe Patrick Reed, three under. He's tied for 30th. Sergio tied for 38th. Colin Morikawa, of course, is having an outstanding year. He's tied for 38th at two under par. Rory McIlroy continues to be the biggest tease in golf. Plays well, doesn't play well. 72, then goes to 66 yesterday. He's at 2 under par as well. Brooks Koepka is at 1 under. Jordan Spieth is even. Xander Schauffele, who won the gold at the Olympics, is at 2 over par, tied for 60. There's only 66 players in it. There's no cut. Everybody makes it this two through the weekend. So guys that are maybe struggling, you'll still see them at least play this weekend. But let's get to Cameron Smith first here. There's something else you want to jump in on that.
Nelly Korda. That's what I love.
Yes. All right. Let me get to that in a second.
All right.
Let's do Cameron Smith first. So yesterday in this tournament, Smith yesterday tied a PGA Tour record for 18 putts in 18 holes. And there were four holes where he had labeled statistically zero putts. So, Tim, can you explain maybe a little bit more about zero putts? Doesn't necessarily mean he didn't putt the ball, but why would something be scored as zero putt?
Yeah, you're on a green, you're using your putter. When you're off a green, you can use whatever you want. Now, just because you're a foot off the green, you can choose to use your putter. It's got a 4 degrees of loft.
Mm-hmm, right.
But you can use a hybrid, you can use whatever you want, a chipping. So, basically, the tour just... Not because you use your putter, but he's off a green. He did make bunker shots. He made some chip shots. That's a zero putt. That's awesome. So if he one putts other holes, super. So I watched at the end yesterday. That was impressive.
Yeah, 18 putts. Because anytime you're out, they have to have a delineation where does putt. You know, if it's on the green, it's a putt. You could use your wedge on the putter, or you could putt with your wedge. If you're putting, say you broke your putter in anger and you're putting with a wedge, that's counted as a putt when you're on the green. And if you're 50 yards off, like my father does with the Texas wedge and uses his putter, that doesn't count as a putt.
So any stroke on the putting green, even if you're not using your putter, that counts as a putt.
Correct.
Any stroke off the putting green, regardless of what you use, that's not a putt.
Correct.
So that's the delineation.
It's not what you use, it's just being on the putting green.
And okay. I've had some days, I think the lowest I've ever had was maybe 24 putts in a round. I probably missed 14 greens that day or something.
And you're a good putter. We were talking briefly with Dan about putting surfaces and greens. So when you got a surface that's really good, these guys shine. And Harris English, just watch highlights. He's just making a bunch of putts. That's the deal.
It's fun when you feel it like that and you're just rolling them all in.
Yeah, so four times he had zero putts yesterday, including back-to-back holes on the third and the fourth. But rather, he chipped in or, as you said, putted from the fringe and made it, but either way, I mean,
that's how you shoot good scores.
Whether we debate whether the rule is good or not, I mean, how they scored around, let's just face it, that's an incredible round. Not a surprise that he shot 62.
Shots made for the putting green. How's that?
Yeah.
Amazing, for sure. Okay, you want to talk about Nelly Korda. We mentioned last week, Xander Schauffele went into the weekend with a chance to win gold. He got it for the U.S., and then on the women's side at the Olympics, Nelly Korda gets it done. So a really cool men's women's sweep of the gold medals here with Nelly Korda kind of being in control for most. She had a day where she was trying to shoot 59. That got close. She didn't end up getting it. Yesterday, a little back and forth. She's pulling away. That got tight. Pulling away got tight. She ends up winning by one. So congratulations to her.
Yeah, number one player in the world. And if you want to emulate a golf swing, oh, my goodness gracious, go watch her swing on slow-mo for a couple times. And I don't know if there's a better swing out there than hers, Freezer. You've seen her swing, right?
We talked about it, that if you want a good The ball speeds at at this point, the best women in the world probably emulate a lot of our golfers that we deal with, right? Mm-hmm. The women's golf swings are technically just better than the men. Yeah. Men get away with it with brute strength and blast it, gouge and, you know, bomb and gouge, but her swing, and then their short games are now getting better and better, so their scores are...
Because they're getting stronger and stronger, yep.
Yeah, but they're playing golf courses, you know, mid 6,000 yards. They're, you know, on most people's tees, we use numbers, other folks use colors. That's the regular tees, we'll say, at many golf courses.
I always laugh that a scratch golfer thinks they can beat a female tour player from the same tees.
Good luck.
Yeah, no chance. No chance. Nelly Korda will smoke you.
Congratulations to her. It was really good, really good golf.
Yeah, she had a wonderful performance and got it done. So congratulations to her at the Olympics. One other Olympic note here, I mentioned Setu Pan, who won that wild seven-way playoff for the bronze medal. Saw a story this week saying that, you know, how come his bronze was worth more than Xander Schauffele's winning gold? Jeff, you said you knew?
Yeah, because his country gave him a lot more money to win a gold. I think Xander Schauffele got like $17,000 to win the gold medal. Something like that. You have the numbers?
Yeah, I do. So, Pan won that 7-for-1 spot for bronze. Chinese Taipei paid him $179,000 for winning that bronze, five times more than what Team USA paid Xander Schauffele for winning gold, which was about $37,000. Yeah. So financially, that's a nice job there for CT Pan.
Rory made some comment. He goes, I've never tried harder to come in third.
Yeah.
Because this, you know, you have this medal for the rest of your life. The guys are still, with the medals, you'd play for free, wouldn't you? I mean, some of these athletes, that's costly.
I love it. I was watching the, falling asleep last night, I was watching the men's gold basketball game last night, and just how Kevin Durant has come back every year. Kevin Durant just signed like a $1 billion contract.
Like a Josh Allen contract.
Yeah, like a Josh Allen contract. But for NBA, it's even bigger. He doesn't need a penny, and he comes over the Olympics every year. He's played in it now. He's the all-time leading scorer. But, I mean, he is legit, like, one of the faces of the NBA, and he is as rich as anybody, you know, in sports. But he comes to the Olympics every year, knows he's not going to get paid a penny, but he loves representing the country. I just, you know, I respect Durant for doing that.
Wait, he gets $37,000 when he wins a gold, though.
He may. Yes, you're right. Yes. That's right, when he gets the gold. But with that being said, the comments that you heard from McIlroy, the comments you heard from Justin Thomas, that these guys going over there knowing, like, hey, I'm not going over here for any financial reason at all. Yes, does it help their brand and does it help their popularity? Of course it does. But, like, so does every appearance that they do. But them going over there to represent their country, like, you can see Rory went a total 180, Tim, from what he thought about going. Remember when he didn't go to Rio in 2016?
Yeah, and give him kudos for he reverses his initial thinking. There's hardly a better interview, him and Spieth. So
I love listening to Rory and Spieth, yeah. But Rory,
but he reversed what he said. He goes, I was wrong.
Yep.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, he came in with almost a bad attitude and walked out saying it might have been his greatest golf experience ever. The cool thing is now, think of these guys. Next time the Olympics are coming up, that's a motivator now. Hey, I got to be on this Olympic team. I maybe got to play in another event to get my ranking up or whatever it is, however your country selects you. And I guarantee if Justin Thomas is offered a spot next time, he's going.
How about Thomas, who's been around professional golf events his whole life with his dad being a PGA pro? He wins a major. He obviously now is great enough that he's going to be playing in all these majors for years to come. And he said, like, in some sense, the presentation and the feel of this, he said, was even better than majors. I mean, that's a big statement to make.
Yeah, sitting there and they're playing the national anthem for your
country. And with no fans, too. Yeah. Like, just think if there's fans there.
Yeah.
That would make it even better.
Yeah, it's cool to hear them say that and catch that Olympic spirit. And it's cool that Americans won.
I think, is it Paris next time? They're going to be playing golf or, you know, the Olympics. So,
yes, Paris.
And, of course, Ryder Cup is bouncing from here at Whistling Straits, going over to Rome. The next time. So this international flavor for golf is really growing around the world. So that just enhances, you know, representing your country.
Great that you brought up the Ryder Cup. Let's get that in here now. Ryder Cup report brought to you by the Jumpa Agency, Main Street in Clarence. The top six right now that would be automatically on the team for the United States: Colin Morikawa, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, and Xander Schauffele.
Ouch. I don't want to play against them.
That's a strong six.
Yes.
Now, here's your next six. Again, none of these spots are guaranteed. Spieth is seventh. Reed, eighth. English, who's playing great this week, ninth. Cantlay, 10th. Berger, 11th. And Finau, 12th. Is there anybody you want to kick off that list, Jeff?
No. No, I like all of them.
You take the top 12.
Yeah, but then I'm sure there's somebody 13 to 18 that I also want on my
team. Now, do you do the, how about the European side?
Oh. You want to take a look at that for a second?
So there's some household names there, too.
All right, yes, there are.
Yes. So if we switch to Europe, right now, their top group, Rahm 1, McIlroy 2, Hovland 3, Hatton 4, Casey 5, Fitzpatrick 6, Westwood 7, Fleetwood 8, Lowry 9, and Perez 10.
Oh, I think we have them on paper.
We're going to kick their butts. This is a no-brainer.
We said that
now,
before.
You look down in the teens, and here's where I'm thinking captain's picks are coming. You got Poulter at 14, Garcia at 15, Rose at 16. Like, you
got. I don't think Garcia makes it this time. He hasn't done much. He hasn't played well this year.
He may not, but he'll definitely, if he's not picked, he'll be like one of the vice captains or whatever.
He'll be around, yeah.
This is around the corner. We'll be at Whistling Straits next month.
Yeah, what, a month and a half away, right? The end of September at Whistling Straits. Have you been to Whistling Straits, Tim?
Yes, I have.
Tell us a little bit about that.
And it's visually, you feel like you're playing on the ocean. It's awesome golf. Oh, my gosh. It's great. So it'll be a great match play with these guys because there's so many options on so many holes. It's an American course that's got some European features to it, but they're going to be mowing the fairways. They're not going to be cutting you off, so our bombers can let it go. But Rahm can bomb it, too. So.
Yeah. We got in the men, we got in the women. Let's get in the Champions Tour players now. The Champions Tour report brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing, the world's finest golf apparel. No Champions Tour event this week. They didn't want to go against the Olympics. Next week is the Shaw Charity Classic. So we'll have a report on what's going on.
Gotta say, your Donald Ross apparel here, you know, looks pretty sharp.
Thank you.
I
mean, I got the nice
little swag and
lavender,
about it,
I guess.
So.
Navy, myself.
That's right.
Yep.
It's looking good. Thank you to Donald Ross. Okay, time out. When we come back, we'll get our Western New York PGA tip of the week. A couple other news and notes that I want to bring along here as well as we roll on from Glen Oak Golf Club, along with PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, PGA Pro Tim Freeze. I'm Brian Colesio. Thanks for listening. More Tee to Green from Glen Oak Golf Club here in East Amherst right after this on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned, more Tee to Green coming up. Listen up, golfers. It's time for our Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond.
We are back here on Tee to Green, live from Glen Oak Golf Club, outside here on the beautiful patio, right next to the fire pit. It's warm enough. I guess we probably don't need it on right now, Tim.
We can turn it off, sure.
Just for atmosphere.
It is setting the mood beautifully for radio,
For three of us to get cozy around the fire this morning, yes.
Oh, it's a gorgeous day here at Glen Oak. We appreciate you being with us here on Tee to Green, along with PGA Pro Jeff Mitis and PGA Pro Tim Freeze. I'm Brian Colesio. We are going to get now to our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, as you heard. And we thought we would talk a little bit about something maybe that you might need to do on the golf course at some point, and that is shaping your shots. What if it has to go left to right? What if it has to go right to left? And you've got to do a little shaping here. You know, for my case, Tim, maybe sometimes, you know, I got to go around a tree and I need it to go left to right or right to left here. Or, but, you know, ideally, if you can do both, if you can hit a shot either way, that increases your chances of scoring well throughout the course of your round here. So what's some of the things that you should be thinking about here about shaping your shots here? Maybe especially, maybe just let's start with approaches into greens here. If I need to go left to right or right to left, what should I be thinking?
Yeah, and as Jeff and I play competitive golf, you like to take a ball from the middle of the green and shape it out to the holes. That way you're kind of safe. It's all about the club face, controlling your club face like a ping pong paddle or a tennis racket. If you control your face, that curves the ball. So if you're a big left-to-right guy, practice your left-to-rights. And as Jeff can attest to, if you control that ball, you basically can put yourself in position to score better.
Yeah, it's like I always think it's about controlling your misses. Like, good players aren't going to miss it where they shouldn't miss it. And say to hook the ball, the thing you need to understand as a right-handed golfer to hook the ball, all your club face just has to be close to the path it's traveling on. So some people will pull their right foot back, aim right, close their blade, try to come in shallow. To me, that's a bit of a harder way to curve the ball and to do the opposite. I think in the what I've learned teaching people is the progress of a good player. At some point, they always sliced it, and at some point, they hooked it. So if you can't hit a slice, or if you say the advice I always give somebody is, Brian had this question, I'm hitting the ball high and right all the time. Well, go out on the range and practice hitting it low left. Exaggerate the opposite of what your miss is and practice trying to curve the ball on the range. It's tough to get out there on the golf course if you've never practiced trying to hit a hook or a slice and just get up there and let one rip. So, you know, get on the range and try to hit balls with a curve. Everybody has a shot they go to, too. You know, very few people hit the ball straight. You're either going to hit a draw or a fade. Make sure you work the opposite end, too, because sometimes those draws turn into hooks and sometimes those fades turn into slices. And without practicing the opposite, I think you tend to exaggerate that move a little bit and you can get a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, whether you're going to your club that you belong to this morning or you're going to go to a public place and pay your $10 for a bucket of balls, when you're warmed up, hit a couple of balls. I want you to hit the biggest slice you can and the biggest hook you can. And then once you do that and feel it, the straight one can happen easier or a softer curve, but you got to see your exaggerations. Hit a big hook, have some fun, hit a big slice, play a game with your friend on the range, watch this one, right. You know, kind of say that, and then you'll see what center can be, but you got to figure it out.
It's tougher to curve the ball now than it was 20 years ago when we had Bellottas and
PGA balls, and club manufacturers are making it hard to curve it.
Right, but I do think, you know, what I don't want people to do is change their grip to change their shot shape. Don't weaken your grip to hit a fade. Don't strengthen your grip to hit a draw. Just work on the path or make sure your blade is a little more closed on the way down to hit a draw and a little more open on the way down to hit a fade. That's kind of how I think of it. And Tim's right. You know, the best players in the world, if the pin's on the right, they're aiming at the center and they're fading it to the right pin. If it doesn't fade,
that's
great.
Fine. It's still in the center.
Yeah. Right. If it fades a little, you're right there. The other thing good players will talk about is crossing the line with their shots. So if I have a target out there on the range and say it's 150 yards and I've got my wedge, yeah, right. So I'm hitting my 7-iron or 8-iron into there and I'm trying to hit a draw. I don't want that ball to cross across the flag. I want that ball to always be rolling towards the target or finish right of the target through all those shots. So it's always working towards the hole. Once it crosses my target line, it's working away from the hole. Does that make sense?
And that becomes short-sighted on greens and higher scores, absolutely.
And didn't Nicklaus say when he won the 86 Masters, he crossed the line twice in 72 holes or something like that?
Yeah, he crossed the line twice and he tapped it in from a foot because you crossed the line. Yeah, that's exactly
right. Yeah, but that's a good way, you know, and I think that's really good advice is if you are struggling with a hook or a fade, practice the opposite on the range and you'll learn to get that club face in a better position. Exaggerate the opposite.
One thing, too, I know just from the couple times you were working with my son this year too, you had told him like, hey, now start to learn to hit those other shots. So, you know, when we come out here to the range, Tim, we say, all right, see that number seven, you know, let's try and cut it right around it here, you know, let's hit a shot there. It's got to be left of the number seven, but we want it to end up on the right side when it hits the ground, you know, like try just having fun on the range, different things to do like that, but to learn those shots sometimes, let's face it, I mean, I'll hit a drive, it's not in the middle, and I've got a tree in the way, and I'm like, all right, I got to start it out left, but I actually want it to end up right, and, you know, keep it low and a punch out. Like, these are the shots on the range you can be trying.
And you visualize that stuff. That helps. What was Tiger's routine before each round? You know, he hits the nine shots, the low center, the medium center, and a draw, a hook. You know, if there's nine different shots on the golf course, and he would warm up by hitting nine shots. I think you do the same thing, Friesen.
You know, it's something easy to do. You've all got alignment rods out there. If you don't, just grab one. It helps you, you know, when you line up for your path. But take five steps, stand, put it out in front of you when you're on a range, mm-hmm. and try to hit to the right of that alignment rod, and then hook it. Try to hit it to the left of that alignment rod, because when you're on the golf course, mm-hmm. and you want to hit it around a tree, you need to start it. So learning how to curve a ball, you're going to have to do it out there.
Yep.
So put it on the range and practice that.
Right on your target line.
Absolutely.
Yep. 5, 10 feet. And the bad miss is a hook that starts left or a fade that starts right.
Bingo.
Typically, if a hook starts right, it's not going to be super bad. If it starts left as a fade, it's usually not going to be super bad. It's when they go left to left with the hooks. That's bad.
Yeah, we've all had those.
Yeah, they're no fun. Double cross, yes.
Great advice there from Tim and Jeff with our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. You can get yourself ready to start golf, get involved in the game, volunteer, do whatever you want to do. Go to WNYPGA.com. They've got events there. You want to get your kids involved, you can go there as well. Junior golf, doubles golf, all these different events, WNYPGA.com. By the way, WNYPGA.com is also a spot you can register for our Duster Putting Challenge. The Western PGA, we're going to be here Saturday, August 21st. We've got like single-digit spots left.
Yeah, very few spots.
So if you haven't signed up yet, you may have heard the promo running on the station this week. Sign up. Go to WNYPGA.com. Go over to where it says Tournaments. Click on that tab and then go down to August 21st, and the Duster's right there. It's a $30 donation to the PGA Reach Foundation, a great charity that we love raising money for. We're going to have music. You're going to get dinner. You're going to have drinks. We're going to have prizes, a raffle, 50-50, and we're going to crown Western New York's best putter.
And after the show, we're going out and getting to set up the course, the routing plan for
this.
That's
right. Yeah, looking forward to doing that.
Diabolical.
Yes. Yeah, Dan might set up a few superintendent's revenge holes.
Yes. It is a fun night, though. It's a fun time.
It really is. And again, you know, yes, we're crowning Western New York's best putter, but you don't have to be a putter. You don't even have to be like, if you're sitting, well, I'm not really like a hardcore golfer. You don't even have to be that. Just come on out and have, you know, you can have a great time. If you can't participate in the event, but you want to donate to the Reach, there's a spot for that as well on the registration site. Or even if you just want to come out and watch. Tim, they could do that, right? Come out and hang out on the patio?
Jeff and I are on this Reach Foundation board. Yeah. It's just doing some cool things, and some very nice people are doing great things for us. So to come out and make a donation, that'd be great. And I want to watch these putters. I want to watch this shotgun thing we're going to do. I want to watch that match play. Hey, let's see how you do when the red light's on.
Yeah, it does get fun when it gets down to the last couple players and the lights are on. Yeah,
and we turn the lights on.
Neat. Yeah.
So we'll be out here on Saturday, August 21st. It all starts at 6 o'clock. Again, I'll tweet out the link here when we get off the air in a few minutes at Brian WJR if you want to sign up. We've just got a few spots left. Okay, two things to get to here before we go. I want to give a shout-out to one of the members at my home club at Pendleton Creek Golf Club, Vaso Crodo. She had a hole-in-one on the 18th hole this week.
Saw that. That's pretty cool. It's a tough hole, too.
So congrats to her. It's got that big false front. You hit over water. So, Vaso, great job on your hole-in-one at Pendleton Creek this week on number 18. Also here now, this story, for all you single guys out there, pay attention.
I'm listening.
Okay, so this single guy, his name is Todd. First of all, let's put Todd away for a second. Unsolicited golf swing advice, isn't it one of the worst things already?
Yeah, if like, something like that, keep your head down.
Right,
yeah.
And hey, you know what you need to do here? Like, we've all played with those guys. Like,
oh, my dad does it to me.
All the time.
He was out here yesterday.
Was he?
Okay. So, Tinder, the dating app. So, this guy named Todd is actually giving swing advice on Tinder to this lady by the name of Anya. Well, her name is Anya Alvarez, and she's a former LPGA player. And now she actually is the CEO and founder of MajorLeagueGirlsGolf.com, a website that promotes women's sports. She earned her card. She played on the LPGA Tour in 2014. A very good golfer, college golfer. So she happened to be posting a video or something on Tinder. Todd writes, bring those hands in like 2 to 3 inches closer to your body. It'll help unflatten your swing a little bit. Get you more distance with a big smiley face.
Unflatten her swing. Sounds like a PGA professional.
So she wrote back, only responding because I played golf on the LPGA Tour. I'll make sure to take these tips into consideration and hit it further when I played on the tour, when I was in the top 10 in driving distance. So, Todd, if you're listening, Todd, when you're on Tinder, maybe avoid golf swing advice, because you never know. You might be giving advice to a former LPGA player.
And mansplaining never does any good anyway, just so you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on a less happy note, the Western New York PGA and the community in Western New York lost a really good friend this week. Bob Gosch passed away. PGA professional, had Discover Golf and Fitness. Just a great guy to play golf with. And I wanted to take a moment to send condolences out to his family. For it's a tragic loss, and there's a hole in all our hearts in Western New York PGA community and the Western New York fitness community because of the loss of Bob, and condolences to his wife and his
to Karen
kids.
And the family. Yeah Bob was gonna be
week.
Truly missed. He's a wonderful man. I've trained with him plenty, and so many out there listening could have trained with Bob. Yeah. It's a tough one.
I worked with him for a couple winters.
Great
and
guy.
Spent a lot of time with him. Good man.
Yeah,
man.
Good words there, gentlemen.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay. Thanks for having us here again, Tim.
Thanks, Brian. Absolutely. Right. This is it's always fun.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
Me? Yeah.
Yep.
Now we're going to go out and design the 18 holes for the Duster. You ready?
We're going to be part of the master plan of the Duster Challenge.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's go. You want to design a course? Here we go. We're going to go do it.
Kevin is going to be so mad he's not here this week.
I know.
Week. Yes.
He's going to be missing out. Thank you for listening. We'll have the entire show up on our on-demand audio section. Corey literally gets it up like within seconds after we're off the air, so kudos to Corey Griswold. Yeah. Corey, thank you for your work back in our Amherst studios. Thanks to Dan Googie earlier, the Glen Oak superintendent, for joining us. And for Jeff Midas and Tim Freeze, I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. T to Green, we're with you every Saturday. We'll talk to you next Saturday at 7 right here on WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.